Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today we'd like to talk about a phenomenon that's taking the world by storm, mindfulness. It has many expressions in all realms of life. We'd like to better understand what it is and how can it make our life better. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, actually, we'd like to talk about several principles that are repeating themselves in different methods, in different cultures, that say that we, as human beings, our natural inclination is to live either in the future or in the past or in the different thoughts that deviate our attention from the present, from what's going on here and now. And we're told that if you learn how to do this, how to bring your attention to the here and now, then a new reality, a true reality will open up to you, your ability to act correctly in life, your ability to understand your life in a better way. So this is what we'd like to talk a bit about today, about the understanding that we as human beings have to learn how to relate more correctly to the here and now, meaning how to not escape reality. Right. How to focus our attention that's constantly deviating in different directions. I wanted to understand, why are we this way naturally, scattered all over all the time? We need the strength to be focused on something, and this needs energy. And if this thing that I want to be focused on worries me less than the amount of energy that I have to invest in order to be focused on it all the time, then I either need to raise its importance in my eyes or to let it go. Otherwise, how? I think, why does our attention deflect from one thing to another? Because we don't feel that it's important enough. And what's so bad about that? That I'm deflected from it? Yeah? I'm in a movie theater. I'm watching a movie. And I'm thinking about myself because there's something in my life that's more important to me than what I see on the big screen or at home on TV, for example. So I'm thinking about something more important. The importance, this is what determines where my thoughts are going to be. So maybe as a student, for example, that has to now sit and listen to his professor, even though that I'm concerned with something else. Okay, so here we have to learn, how do I shift? How do I attribute greater importance to the lecture than to the thought that I'd like to escape to? But it all depends on the importance. The way that people relate nowadays to the lack of concentration and attentiveness, people relate to this as, you know, like a brain problem, that we can't concentrate, that immediately we leap to other things. Isn't it something that we have to practice to change our habits? Maybe we could do it to some extent by habit and by this kind of training, but actually it won't help because behind all these things, there is the desire to receive pleasure, the will to receive, that dictates the importance of each and every matter. And I'll be attentive to what's important and not attentive to what's not important. So to the extent to which I'll force myself to be attentive to something, still, my attention, concentration, and importance will be insufficient. This is really interesting because the approaches that exist today try to deal with the symptoms and not the root of the problem, whether it's giving medicine to children for them to better concentrate on things that don't interest them. This is completely incorrect. Right, instead of taking care of the matter itself to make it more interesting, we try to force ourselves to be attentive to things that don't interest us. And what do you have as a result of telling a child, you have to learn, you have to listen, you have to do this and that because it's important for you in life? It's not enough. It doesn't make it important for him. Maybe in 20 years from now, when he'll be a grown-up person and no longer a child, he'll use it, he'll need it. now it means nothing to him. So what do you do? So what's the change that, meaning that I don't see this lack of attentiveness, lack of mindfulness as a problem? What's important to a person? Yes. What's not important? No. This is how we always develop in society. Always. I do what's good and important for me, and what's not, I don't. I always do what's important. Because of money, because of someone that's pushing me to do it, someone that's expecting me to do something, but it's important still. It's because of the importance. Even if someone threatens me, so it's important, so I do it. It doesn't matter what are the stimulations that make me attentive. But they have to be sufficient and in correlation with the extent of attention that's demanded of me. I want to talk about time. There's the present. Now I'm talking to you, and I'll ask you a question. There's the past. 5 minutes ago I did something. I did something a year ago. And there's the future, something that I will do. Right now, as we're talking, I'm in the present. But maybe, while we're talking, or while I'm listening, suddenly my thoughts space out to things that happened in the past or to something in the future. And maybe I'm missing out on something that's happening right now in the present. You said that the foundation of where is a person's attention, it's in accordance with his desire. It's according to what's important to him. His attention is directed at that naturally. And even if he'll train himself eventually, it won't really make a change. It won't really make a difference because what's important for his desire, this is what his attention will be focused on. Now, I'm living in the present, but the past is pulling me, the future is pulling me. What's going on with the present? Am I missing out on something? I don't understand. I'm in a certain flow that's going on inside of me. And this flow wants to take me to certain thoughts, forms, pictures, and along with it, I have to listen to what you're saying. Suppose. So how can I convince myself that I have to leave my inner world where I'm talking to myself, I see the inner forms that appear in me, and I have to listen to what's going on in you? Why? Not even with me and you. Something that's going on inside of yourself. You know what? You want to create something. You sit down, you want to write something. You sit down in front of the computer, and you want to write something or draw something. Something really personal. So right now, you want to do something. To think about something, do something, doesn't matter on what level. And while you're planning to do it, it's like, you space out where? Either into something in the past or something in the future. Why do we space out this way? Lack of importance. That's all there is to it. Lack of importance. Because were it important, and it doesn't matter what you say, were it important to my will to receive, I'd stay in it. Unless I have some kind of a medical problem. Does a person lose as a result? Maybe there are different things, different states in life that are happening right now, and because I'm drifting into the past and into the future, I'm missing out on what's going on right now in the present? Sure, it could be. Could happen. Sure, you're missing out on something. But you have to convince yourself, you have to understand, you have to maybe feel, calculate what will happen if you don't listen. It's work. What you're focusing us on from the beginning of this show is what's important and what's not important to me according to my basic desire to receive pleasure. Yeah, that's it. Very simple. Now, I as if want to receive pleasure right now. But suddenly, from the different situations that I'm experiencing right now, I drift into the past, into the future. Am I missing out on something that maybe could give me great pleasure, or maybe it's something really important that's right now in front of me once I space out into the past or the future? Could be, but you have to feel, what are you missing out on? You have to feel, where do you gain and where do you lose? In the meantime, you're speaking theoretically. Why do all the different methods and teachings talk about the present as being the key for revealing reality, for development? I consider everything in the present, even if it's something from the past or from the future, I bring it to the present, to my qualities and thoughts, and evaluate it, consider it in the present. What is there about the present, about what's going on here and now? It's the instrument by which I measure importance. What's going to happen in the future? I don't know. I don't know about the past either. The future and the past, I measure it in the present. I don't know about the future. I simply envision, imagine it in the present. Because our inclination is to be in our thoughts, in our worries, in the different pressures that we feel. And then Oren says we're missing out what's going on here and now in the present because we're dealing with different thoughts. I know everyone feels that on themselves, and especially now. So what? Because we're running after everything and we're overloaded with information and so on. So if we stop for a moment and stop doing so much, you won't be able to do it. Why? What? You'll do some meditation. It won't give you anything. You'll fall out of the flow of life, and what will you have? Maybe through guided imagination, you'll achieve some kind of a blurry, convenient form of existence. But, so maybe I don't see the world running after the Hindus and the Chinese to buy those people that know how to meditate and to pull them into different kinds of modern societies to help them really be attentive, mindful. Okay, now I want to ask about the wisdom of Kabbalah and what does it say about the present? Everything is in the present. There's no past, there's no future, but everything's in the present. What did you just say? I said that a person doesn't know what the past or the future is, but it's all imaginary. Everything's only the present? Yes. What do you mean by that? Also, what happened yesterday and the day before, that's related to me. That too is something that I feel in the present. I'm thinking about it right now. Yeah. So, how can I think about yesterday if I'm thinking about it now? It's all in the present. But I imagine a certain state to myself that I call yesterday. So what should we fill our present with? With thoughts about different things that were or might be or something else. How to use the present in the best possible way. To work only in the present. On what? Because of yesterday and because of tomorrow, everything has to be narrowed down to the present, to the here and now, and only. Suppose my worries about tomorrow can drive me crazy. No such thing. Everything's in the present. Don't think about the future. There is no future. There's no future. It's the future. It's the future. You're in it all the time. So, what is there to think about the future? Only about the present. if you're adhered to the present and true spiritual discernments, you don't need time. You're only in the present. Time disappears. When you do what? What does it mean to be adhered to the present? That I solve everything only in the present. Right now, I'm stopping everything, and I'm only in that. In what? In my connection to reality, to the upper force, to everything together. And that's it. And there's no time. How can a person learn how to be connected with reality in the present? This is actually what we want to talk about. We're running around all life long, doing plenty of things, but maybe we're not connected with reality at all. So how can we connect to reality here and now? Connecting with reality here and now is something that we need society for it to help me, for us to help each other. Otherwise, it's impossible. Help you do what? Help me accept everything in the present. What does this mean? Not to be concerned, not to think about anything besides the present. That I have to be in a society, and with this entire society, we develop an approach, an attitude toward reality here and now. I'm trying to think about what does here and now mean in practice. It means that we don't think about tomorrow. It means that right now we want to do and realize everything. What do we want to realize? Our connection. Our connection. Because this is the only thing that we're missing, that we're lacking. I want to shorten time, space, and motion, the three parameters of reality. The place, it's one place. It's the 10 in which I focus on. A 10, what is that? 10 people that want to stop time. They meet and they work on how to make it so that there will be no movement. What does it mean, no movement? That they think only about their connection, for it to be as whole and complete as possible. Connection meaning what? That everyone fills everyone else, this connection. To fill meaning what? With whatever they want. No, I mean, what does it mean to fill? To fulfill their desires. Everyone fulfills everyone else's desires. Yes, so it's a group of 10 people that want to learn how to stop time, and for this, they begin to do what? To fulfill the others, fulfilling each other. Yeah. And they don't want for this to happen tomorrow or in 1,000 years, but right now, and only. Then by that, they stop reality, and they turn it into a static reality, where nothing changes. These ten people that are connected, and by their connection, they only want to influence each other, and for them to have one desire, one thought, one state. And when they focus on that, they stop reality. They start feeling inside their connection that this is a new reality that is above time, space, and motion. Nothing changes. And then they reach a state where if I can remain in this state without leaving it, then I reach ideal mindfulness. What do I grasp then that I don't perceive or grasp now in reality or in the present? What do you perceive then? Everything. The whole of reality is under your control. It's entirely inside the connection, above time, space, and motion. Where is that reality right now? Right now, we don't have it. Why? Because we're not connected with each other. We're not 10 here. And each of us isn't annulling himself toward everyone else only in order to bestow to them. We don't want to rise above time for nothing to change but our connection, for it to become ever stronger. and therefore we can't rise above time, space, and motion. And we remain in this world. So just to see if I get what you just explained. If a person wants to permeate the present and in it to feel everything there is to feel, that person needs to create a special kind of connection with other people. It's actually working in a group of people, about 10 people. And precisely in that special connection that they create between them, by that they can maximize their present to the fullest. Why is it something that a person can't do on his own? Why do I need other people in order to do this? Why isn't it personal but group work? You talked about mindfulness. Yes. So, who will I listen to then? To myself? No, I can't. I need to be influenced by them, and they need to be influenced by me. Only by mutually influencing each other will we be able to keep ourselves in maximum mindfulness. When we're being mindful, what are we mindful of? That we're exiting the framework of this world. Exiting where? Exiting into a different dimension where there's no time, space, or motion. What does exist there? There. All of the new definitions and qualities that are called spirituality, that what characterizes them that they don't exist in the dimension that I feel right now? Again, that there's no time, space, and motion. Everything's fixed, exists, and doesn't change. This is the present to its full extent? No, that's not the present. If you say present, there's also past and future. So what is it? It's reality. When people try to achieve mindfulness on their own by different methods, eventually they come to a place where they feel only themselves. And here you're describing that something opens up, a new world opens up. How does this open up to a person? By what I just said? That 10 people connect with each other, wanting to support each other, so that none of them will fall out of their mindfulness, and for everyone to be connected, for everyone to help each other, support each other, and then, in such a connection of 10, suddenly they reach a state where they feel that instead of 10, they have some one common thing. And this one common thing that they have, this is called exiting into a higher degree. What common thing do they have? That they want to support each other, wanting to support each other. This entire group technology you just described, this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah deals with? Yeah. Okay, suppose a person studies this method and he practices it in a group of 10 people and he succeeds to some extent. I suppose that there is a process here and so on, but he's advancing to some extent. How does it influence his day-to-day life? Can you give me an example? He goes through each and every day like any other person. So what did he do it for if it didn't give him anything in order to attain the upper world? So this is what I'm asking. What new achievements, what new things does he achieve that he attained that he didn't have before? He reaches a state where he understands what does this world exist for? What does he exist for? What is he supposed to come to? He understands how this world works, exists above time, space, and motion. He sees the forces acting, operating in reality, and not what we see here in this world, only their results, and also only very vague results. He is in the center of the creation of the future of the world. All of these insights he discovers in each and every moment and in every state and situation that he experiences, yes, he can penetrate this realm at any given moment, no matter where he is, at home, at work, in traffic. He is all the time in both. Externally wise, he's in this world and sees it the way you see it. Internally wise, he sees the upper reality, the way it controls this world. So the group training is, all in all, something that qualifies you to develop a new way of seeing, like you said before, that it's not even seeing the present, but seeing the whole of reality. Right? I have to ask, such a person, before he goes to sleep at night, what bothers him? I know what bothers me. The children, work, a thousand different worries that don't let me fall asleep. A person that did it. He studied the method. He did it. What bothers him before he falls asleep? He's like a baby falling asleep in his mother's arms. Meaning, there's nothing to be worried about. Before he falls asleep, what does he think about? Nothing. Only to be connected with that upper system. That, how do you define this reality, the reality? What is it? It is the place from where we get life from. The place that sustains us, cares for us, and calibrates our entire life. If we understand and feel and know it, we have no bad surprises. If I understand correctly, once a person understands the importance of what he can discover in the here and now, in terms of connecting to reality, this is what gives him the ability to overcome the different disturbances and to focus on what's important. The mindfulness, as you call it, is then fully active. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.